الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤمن مرآة المؤمن أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has taught the believers to have feeling for each other. Every believer should try to benefit his brother and to save him from any harm or any loss that may reach him. Benefit and harm are of two kinds: material benefit, spiritual benefit. Material harm, material loss, and spiritual harm, spiritual loss. It is the desire of our deen, our sharia, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is the demand of the teachings of Islam that we try our utmost to reach both material and spiritual benefit to our brethren, and we try our utmost to save them from spiritual harm and material harm, worldly harm and harm of the hereafter. It is for this reason, whenever we see each other going towards any harm, any loss, we try to safeguard that person from that harm, from that loss. Let us take a very insignificant example, very, very insignificant scenario. We are performing salat in the second row, and we have a friend who is performing his salat in the first row. And we notice that his jubba or his shirt or his clothing is dirty from the back. What will we do? After the salat, we will immediately take him to one corner and we will point out to him that your jubba is dirty, your shirt is dirty, your kameez is dirty, your dressing is dirty. Why? Because at that time we think to ourselves that if my friend remains in this condition, then people will look at him and they will make fun of him. They will look down upon him. They will mock at him. And my friend doesn't realize that my shirt or my jubba has a stain. So we do not want to see our friend or our brother in even this insignificant loss. To this extent we go. And this will bother us during Salat also. When can I finish my Salat and when can I take him on one side and let him know that, look, you've got this problem, go home and change your shirt, change your jubba. This is human nature. When you have feeling for somebody, you would like to safeguard him from every type of loss, every type of harm, every type of distress. If this is the case, when it comes to worldly matters, how much feeling should we have for our Muslim brother when we see him going towards spiritual loss, spiritual harm, spiritual destruction? For example, when we see somebody performing Salat, his headgear and his topi and his cap is perfectly fine, his jubba is okay, his trousers, his amama, his glasses, as far as the worldly aspect is concerned and as far as the material aspect is concerned, there is no loss, no harm. Everything is fine. But we see him performing a particular posture of Salat against the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a stain on his Salat. How much concern do we have for our Muslim brothers or Muslim sisters when we see them in spiritual loss or spiritual harm? This is a very important question. Because when a person is performing Salat or any action and it is contrary to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, then this person will incur loss in the hereafter. If it is fard, if the mistake that he is making belongs to the category of fard, then he may make a 100% loss. If it is wajib, again he may make a 100% loss. And if it is sunnah, if it is mustahab, then the sawab of that ibadah decreases. And he may make a loss of 10%, 5%, 20%, 15%. But it is a loss. A very pious person performed salat, nafla salat, tahajjud or any other nafla salat, with full concentration. And the salat was very perfect. After performing these two rakat, he went to sleep. And he saw a dream. In this dream, he saw that he had entered Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him so many favors and bounties in Jannah. One of these bounties was a very beautiful hoor. So this person came close to this hoor. Head to toe, she was the most beautiful woman that he had seen. But when he came near her, he realized that the eyes of the hoor were perfect, but without any light. So she was blind, basically. The bowls of the eyes were there and perfect, but it did not have any light. There was no noor. She could not see. So she was blind. So he asked the angels that, why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me this bounty in the form of hoor? This is the reward of which ibadat, which worship? So the angel said, this is the reward of performing two rakat nafl only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with total concentration and sincerity. And the angels pointed out to him that, do you remember that day when you performed two rakat only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with full concentration? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so happy that he has granted you this bounty in return of those two rakat. Fine, he said. Okay, but why is she blind? Why is she blind? She is useless. If she is blind, she will not attract me. So the angel said, think very carefully. When you were performing your salat, from takbir-e-tahrima to salam, You are very, very conscious about sunnah and the mustahab acts of salah. Can you recall? You are very, very particular. But he said, there is one sunnah and one mustahab which you omitted. In order to bring concentration in your salah, you kept your eyes closed throughout the salah. It is sunnah that when you are performing salah, when you are in qiyam, you should be looking at your sajdah position, the place of sajdah. When you go into ruku, you should be looking at your toes. So there are specific instructions. And our Sharia has demanded, the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has demanded from us that we keep our eyes open. Now, the salat is of two types. One is you keep your eyes open and the concentration goes. And the other is you keep your eyes closed and the concentration remains. Which salat is more better? The salat where your eyes are open without concentration. Because it is in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And gradually, slowly, slowly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about that khushu also. You keep your eyes open, try to keep the khushu and the concentration, and continue with your adhkar, with your mamulat, with your effort, with your striving, and sooner or later the khushu will also come. But if you keep your eyes closed in order to bring khushu, then after 10 years if you open your eyes, that khushu will go away. So you will not be able to perform your salah according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is how you start. And our sharia requires that we keep the eyes open because it is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because eyes are also limbs of the body. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes that eyes also participate in that devotion of salat. If we keep the eyes closed, the eyes are out of that devotion. So it is the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when we are performing salat, then the whole body engages in salat, including the eyes. So this person, because he kept his eyes closed, he omitted one sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he had to incur loss in the hereafter. So when we see our friends on a daily basis not doing things according to Sharia, it is possible that this person is omitting a fard. In this case, he is making 100% loss. He may be omitting a wajib act. In this case, he may be making a loss of 100%, 80%, 90%, 70%. Or he is omitting a sunnah, a mustahab act, then he is making a loss of 5%, 10% because sawab will be decreased. So why is it that we do not have that same feeling for our Muslim brother? If we see him in any material harm, any worldly harm, we will immediately point out if he is walking on a path. And if there is a dangerous dog around the corner, what will we do? We will immediately say, don't go in that direction. There is a very dangerous dog. If there are rough people standing around the corner, and if somebody is going in that direction, what will we do? Don't go in that direction. There is danger. If somebody is walking in darkness during the night, and if there is a big hole, and you've seen that hole, what will you do? Be careful, there is a big hole. Why is it that when it comes to spiritual matters, we are unable to direct our friends towards benefit, towards safety? Why is it that we are unable to safeguard them from harm? One of the fundamental and prime reasons is, a very fundamental and prime reason is that this loss is not a loss in our eyes. We don't see it as a loss. We don't regard it as a loss. If a pound coin falls from somebody's pocket, we will immediately pick it up and give it to him. Why? Because we will immediately realize that this is a loss for my brother. It is not that we do not have feelings for our Muslim brothers, that we don't point out their spiritual mistakes. It is because we don't regard this loss as a loss. We ourselves don't have any value for this amal, for these practices, for these benefits. We ourselves don't feel these losses as losses. So we don't feel the need to point out to our Muslim brothers. We don't feel the need to tell them that, look, this is the mistake you are making. This was not the case with the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. This was not the case with the Sahaba ikiram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmain. This was not the case with the Salafus Salihin rahimahumullahu ta'ala. The Anbiya, the Sahaba, and our pious predecessors, whenever they saw somebody incurring spiritual harm, they could not tolerate it. They could not tolerate it. They would immediately point out. Immediately point out. And they would follow the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam have encouraged that you should call people towards good and prevent them from evil. Udhu ila sabili rabbik, call people towards the path of your Rabb. So if somebody is making a mistake, that is not the path of your Rabb. So you must call him that, look, this is how you do this. But we need to call them bil hikmati wal maw'idati al hasana, bil hikmah, with wisdom and with good admonition. With hikmah, with good admonition. So what we need to do is we need to point out the mistakes of our Muslim brothers with hikmah, with good admonition. With hikmah, with good admonition. Hikmah, wisdom. Wisdom. A person needs to understand the circumstance that he is in. A person needs to assess the gravity of the situation. A person needs to assess the level of education of the person he is communicating with. A person needs to assess how much love and respect this person has for him before he embarks on this mission. Hikmah is needed. Wisdom. And with wisdom, wal maw'izati al hasana, good admonition. A very sweet way of speaking. Speaking in such a way that it enters the heart and the mind. It is readily swallowed and accepted by the person who is listening. Al-Mawizatul Hasana means using a hadith, using Quran, using examples, using stories of the pious, with a very sweet tongue, with a lot of concern, with a lot of feeling. Allama Shabbir Ahmed Usmani, Rahmatullahi Ali, the author of the commentary on Muslim Sharif, Fathul Mulhim, a great scholar of the Indian subcontinent, he used to say that whenever a person speaks haq, whenever a person utters the word of haq with the intention which is haq, so what he is saying is haq, it is according to Sharia, and his intention is haq, that means sincerity, he does not have any other motive, he does not have any ulterior motive, his only aim is to bring this Muslim brother on the straight path, and by bringing him on the straight path to bring about salvation for him, and to bring upon himself the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bring for himself the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the kalam is haq, the word is haq, and the niyyah is haq, and he further says the method is also haq, the style is haq, the way he talks with lot of concern, with lot of politeness, with lot of sweetness, with lot of love. So Allama Shabbir Ahmad Usmani Nawarallahu Marqadahu used to say that if the kalam is haq, if the word is haq, if what you are saying is haq, and number two, if your intention is haq, intention is full of sincerity, and the third is your method is haq, then Allama Shabbir Ahmad Usmani Nawarallahu Marqadahu used to say definitely your word will have an effect on the person you are speaking to. Jo baat dil se nikalti hai asar rakhti hai. Jo baat dil se nikalti hai asar rakhti hai. Whatever comes out from the depth of the heart with lot of concern, lot of sincerity, it will always have an effect on the heart of the listener. So, udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal mu'izati al hasana. So the first point we need to instill in our hearts and minds is that from today we will remain concerned about our losses and our harms, and at the same time we will worry about the harms and the losses of our Muslim brothers. And when it comes to worldly matters and religious matters, we should be concerned about the losses and harms of our human brothers also. Human brothers. We should have fearing for them, we should make dua for them. And whenever we get the opportunity, we should try to explain to them what Islam is. We should invite them towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again with hikmah, with good admonition. And as far as our Muslim brothers are concerned, Muslim sisters are concerned, they already have iman, so we should invite them towards the fara'id, towards the wajibat, towards the mustahabbat, towards the sunan. And this needs to continue on a daily basis, 24 hours. Whenever you see somebody with a harm, with a loss, making a mistake, and this mistake causing or bringing spiritual loss or harm, we need to, but with hikmah and maw'idai hasana. And in the initial stages, if you do not understand hikmah, maw'idai hasana, then go to a professional and put the situation before him, that today in Dhuhr namaz, Dhuhr salat, I saw such a person doing this. This is how much I am acquainted to him. He is older than me. And I felt like telling him, but these were the thoughts that were crossing my mind, so I left it to him. What should I have done in this situation? And slowly, slowly you will learn. We all have to learn. Hikmah and maw'izai hasana. There was an old man, he was performing wudu. And when people perform wudu, then normally when they are washing their hands, then at the back of the elbow, normally a dry area remains. Because they very quickly they wash, and they, especially when you are making wudu with water in the jug in the olden days. And similarly, when you are washing your feet, then the area at the back of the feet, the area of the heel is very, very important as well. So what you need to do is that when you are performing wudu, make sure that you take your hand at the back of the elbow, and make sure that you rub your, if you are washing the right hand, you rub your left hand properly. And similarly, when you are washing your foot, then make sure that you rub your hand properly towards the heel. So this old man was performing wudu, and the area behind his foot, the area of the heel was left dry. Two young boys who were very pious and who were students, they saw this mistake. So now they said, if we don't point this out, he is going to make 100% loss. Because wudu is fard for salat. And salat will not be valid without wudu. But how can we tell him? We are only in our teens and he is 60, 70 years old. He might get offended. We are feeling embarrassed. So because they had this concern that we want to save our Muslim brother from harm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists and helps. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the idea in their minds. So they went to the old man, both of them had a jug in their hand, and they said, there is a dispute between the two of us regarding the method of performing wudu. And you are older than us, you have more experience about wudu, so what we would like you to do is to watch each of us perform wudu and see who is correct. So he said, fine. So the first one performed the wudu. And when he performed the wudu, whilst he was performing the wudu, the old man did not have the education that they had, and number two, the old man had his own way of performing wudu, and he had his own habits for a very long time. So when the first one started performing wudu, he noticed that his wudu was very different from his. Because this person was very, very particular when he was washing his hands up to the wrist, and then doing miswak, gargling the mouth. So this attracted the attention of the old man. So he looked at his wudu very carefully. And he noticed that the wudu of the young man was a bit different from his. And he thought that I am also learning certain things from his wudu. When the turn of the second person came, he performed the wudu, and he performed his wudu exactly like his friend. So when they both completed their wuzu, they said, now can you decide between the two of us whose wuzu is correct? So he said, as far as the wuzu of you two are concerned, it is correct, but I have realized that my wuzu is incorrect. Udhu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah wal maw'izati al hasana. This is hikmah, this is maw'izai hasana. So this is the point we need to remember, that whenever we see our Muslim brother making a spiritual loss, spiritual harm, we should have concern in our, how can I tell my Muslim brother? Sometimes you are unable to say something to somebody individually because you feel that he is very sensitive, he will get offended, or you feel that he is much, much more older than me. So what do you have to do? You have to say it in general public. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was one day sitting in a majlis and a person came who was the victim of evil gazes. So he was glancing at women. So when he came, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was a very great personality, very, very pious personality, and pious people sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes the condition of the sinful person so that they are able to rectify them. So when this person entered the gathering, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma saw from his eyes that he is the victim of evil gazes. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma remained quiet for a few minutes and he continued to speak on other topics. And after a while, he said, why is it that I see people coming in my gathering and I see that evil gazes are seen on their eyes? The sin and filth of evil gaze is seen on their eyes. So Abdullah ibn Abbas did not directly speak to him. He gave a general admonition. And this person repented. He repented and he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, forgive my sins. Another person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, oh Messenger of Allah, I have a habit of committing adultery, fornication. And I would like you to give me permission. I would like to give me permission because it is difficult for me to let go of adultery and fornication. If somebody came to a leading scholar in this day and age and asked for permission for adultery and fornication, the job of the da'i, the objective of the da'i is to somehow bring the madru, the one who is being invited on the straight path, through hikmah and maw'izai hasana. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, okay, if you want to, but let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. If somebody wanted to do the same to your sister, how would you feel? So he said, I would feel disgusted. If somebody wanted to do the same thing to your daughter, how would you feel? He said, I would feel disgusted again. If somebody wanted to do this to your mother, so your mother, your daughter, your sister, how would you feel? He said, I would feel disgusted. I would feel horrified if somebody was committing adultery or fornication with my mother or with my sister or with my daughter. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that the person you commit adultery or fornication is also somebody's sister. She is also somebody's mother. She is also somebody's daughter. Now, as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, it had so much effect on this person. Thereafter, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his right hand on his heart, on his chest, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allahumma tahir qalba wa hassin farja." From this, we learn that the da'i, the one calling people towards the right path, number one, he has to have lot of concern, lot of worry, lot of fikr. His intention should be only one. Somehow I want to connect this person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want this person to be purified, to be rectified from the mistake he is making, because this is loss and harm in the hereafter for him. Concern. And he should use hikmah, wisdom, and also maw'izai hasana, good admonition. He should say it in a very nice way. And with that, he should pray for the person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, Allahumma tahir qalbahu, Allah, purify his heart. Why is this filth in his heart? Filth of adultery and fornication. Wa hassin farjanu, Allah, safeguard his private parts. Safeguard his private parts. The person says that as soon as I heard the the advices and the admonition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with wisdom, and as soon as he made his dua, the thought of committing adultery and fornication never entered my life. So my friends, this is what we need to do. We need to call people towards good, and we need to prevent them from evil so that they do not incur any loss whatsoever in their spiritual aspects of their life. And we need to do this in a very nice way. Very, very nice way. Very nice manner. Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one mu'min is the mirror of the other mu'min. One mu'min is the mirror of the other mu'min. What is the function of the mirror? The function of the mirror is, when a person stands in front of the mirror will point out the folds on the face. The mirror will point out the folds on the clothes. So this is our responsibility. When a mu'min brother comes, his life comes in front of us, then we need to point out his mistakes. But how does the mirror point out the mistake? With mau'izai hasana, without making any noise, without letting anybody know, very secretly. It points out the mistake only to that person who is at fault. It doesn't let anybody else know. So similarly, when Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a mu'min is the mirror of another mu'min. So mu'min is the mirror of another mu'min, so first responsibility is he should point out. And number two, second responsibility is to point it out very silently, so that the other people don't get to know. The mirror never humiliates anybody. And the third quality of the mirror is that it does not show to the person standing in front of the mirror his faults only. It shows the good aspects also. So the responsibility of a mu'min is to criticize, constructively criticize his Muslim brother to rectify his fault, but at the same time he should praise him for the good that he sees in his Muslim brother also. So this is what we need to learn. And another point to learn, this is for the mad'u. This is for the person who is being guided, that he should not take offense when a person points out his mistake. When the mirror points out our fault, we become very happy that it's a good thing I came in front of the mirror, otherwise I would have been humiliated in front of people. So this is how we should feel to ourselves, that it's very good that my Muslim brother has pointed this fault out, otherwise so many other people would have noticed, or they may have been noticing until now, and if not in this world, then I would have been humiliated in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.